I've been thinking about which of the boys are which of the Sex and the City ladies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's what I've been working on.
That's a good point, because when I was talking to my wife about that, I was telling her that I was going to be on this podcast, and neither of us had seen Entourage. And then I was like, I think it's like boy Sex and the City,
because mm-hmm, they were
the same time. That's how I described it.
Yeah, that's, we've been saying if once we get through all 96 episodes in the movie of this, we want to keep making more podcasts, we're going to switch over to Sex and the City and have the opposite experience, because I have all the DVDs of that and Joe's never seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I've seen clips, hot clips.
It's good.
Honestly. I love Sex and the City.
I hadn't seen it until recently, and I watched a couple, and it's really good.
I think it's a delightful show. I think it gets a lot more hate than it deserves. All right, so here is my breakdown of which of the Sex and the City boys I think are which. I think Vince has to be Carrie. That's the obvious one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess E is the Miranda, because he's the all-business one, which leaves Charlotte and Samantha for Turtle and Drama. And I think Drama is Charlotte.
Interesting.
And Turtle is Samantha.
Oh, Charlotte is...
Charlotte is the uptight one.
What's her name? Her real name?
Oh my God, I don't
Charlotte.
Know.
Charlotte. Redhead?
Kristen.
The redhead.
No, Miranda's the redhead. Miranda's the lawyer who's a redhead. So I think that's an easy map for E.
Oh, Charlotte is the other one.
She works at an art gallery. Yes. Okay. Yes, she's very like posh. But I feel like it actually kind of works, because Drama worries a lot about like how he appears to other people, and like... he's had some success, but he's sort of probably the least used character. And when he does date people, they're always sort of wackadoo.
Okay.
And I feel like Charlotte has a lot of sort of odd experiences. I don't know. I mean, it's not a perfect map. But and then Turtle makes sense for Samantha, because Samantha's sort of the most loose and free-flowing. She's the one that's like always talking about sex. Mm. She would definitely be the most likely to smoke weed, I feel like.
Turtle doesn't have a lot
Turtle
of sex,
loves
though.
Weed. No, that, well, no. But
it's just the vibe.
Just a vibe.
Okay. It's good to know now, having seen only one episode, because I was wondering about the amount of sex that the character of a turtle had in the scope of it.
So far,
now I know.
I think none.
And it's surprising
the series today.
That the character of Turtle does not have a lot of sex.
Not
okay.
Yet.
He just hasn't hit his stride, I guess. Mm.
So who's so steady. Is Ari Mr. Big? Is that a...
Oh, wow. That's... who would Ari be? Ari is...
just keeps coming back. And...
Ari's more like another side lady in terms of how he functions. Like, it would have to be... it wouldn't be someone that one of them is sleeping with. It would be like an extra friend.
Okay.
Oh, you know who he is? He's one of their... he's like one of the gay best friends.
Oh, okay.
That's what I would say, because he's...
a Mario Cantone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone who's around a lot. Yeah, like maybe Mario Cantone would be a good one.
Right.
I don't know. It's tough. I'd really have to... I want to give this more thought, but I just wanted to introduce the subject.
Yeah. We'll dive deeper into this.
I'd love to hear you weigh in.
Please. Somehow we're already getting comments.
Oh, yeah.
People are yelling.
Oh, my God. Yeah, my phone is blowing
during
up.
Recording.
They are furious.
They're so mad. welcome to Podtourage.
Welcome to Podtourage.
We have a guest in the Podtourage Mansion today.
Yep. I just waved at the microphone.
You know what?
Let the people know that I just waved at the microphone.
Yeah. You know what? Waved. I do that all the time. I'm always like doing act outs that no one will ever know about. I didn't ask. Do you want to be introduced as Dan Spencer?
Oh,
Dan Levine?
You can do all three.
All three.
Daniel sure. Spencer Levine.
All three.
Just cut out the
yeah,
part
I mean,
where
I'll think about it later.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Later.
Very
I don't
funny.
Full on Jewish or not as Jewish.
Yeah, you can. I'll just say I'll give you some different sound bites. Dan, yeah. Daniel, Spencer, Levine.
Okay, I'll let
Got
you
it.
Know. I'll text you after.
Yeah, let me know.
Right.
Very funny Long comedian. Works in the graphics department at Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Tell us about yourself. What do you want? Anything you want to plug right up top?
Nope. I got nothing going on. This podcast. I'm a cartoonist. I work on the Samantha Bee Show and John Oliver sometimes. Mm. And I write jokes with friends and that's about all I've got going on.
Nice.
Very funny person. So today we're talking about Entourage Season 2, Episode 11, which is called Blue Balls Lagoon.
Ooh.
Blue Balls Lagoon.
You texted me. You're like, this is a funny title.
It is. I think it's a funny title. Yeah, they really don't do enough like working titles into the episodes anymore. I feel like they used to at least work their own titles into things. Mm-hmm.
Well, this one would have been a weird one. I got Blue Balls Lagoon.
Johnny Drama absolutely could have said that sure. after getting the boner and getting straight into the camera. The...
Yeah.
Oh, here's a question I have. What is an MOW? Do you guys know?
I was also wondering.
Movie of the week.
Ah.
Made for TV movie.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
A, so like a Lifetime. Mm-hmm. Or a,
Hallmark.
Hallmark, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or okay. I guess Joe Mantegna is like big in the MOW world.
Mm. That's right. 'Cause
when they said that we no longer have Joe Mantegna, everybody was like, oh.
Well, like, fuck.
So there goes the integrity of this project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then what's the
point? I also definitely feel like Brooke Shields is a much bigger star than Joe Mantegna.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Brooke Shields is a very famous person.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually kind of crazy they got her on to this. Do this.
Where the whole punchline is that this man has a boner. That's like the whole episode is working up for that character to get a boner.
Like, that's not a thing that happens on set sometimes, you know? Yeah. I mean, like, it's bad.
Definitely not good.
But it's not good. But there's a really famous story. Who is it? I'm having really trouble today. Huh? Liev Schreiber got a boner while working with...
Oh, wow.
Patrick Stewart? Steve Martin. It's Steve Martin that he got it with.
Liev Schreiber and Steve Martin?
Yeah. One of...
What?
Was it one of the, dramas that Steve Martin...
All right. So, his first movie role...
I can't even imagine what this
was. In Nora Ephron's Mixed Nuts... He played Chris, a transvestite who ends up dancing with Steve Martin's character. I'm reading this off of Entertainment Tonight's website. Entertainment, whatever this is. Doesn't matter. EW.com. I'm reading this off of EW.com. Schreiber plays... I don't think transvestite is an okay word anymore, but who ends up dancing with Steve Martin's character. Schreiber told Conan O'Brien his very first day on set was a dance rehearsal with Martin. It was not just any dance, it was a foxtrot, which involves the dancer sticking his leg between the other's legs and leading them around. I sort of chuckled to myself, boy, would this be inappropriate if I became aroused, Schreiber recalled. Nothing could have been more inappropriate, so of course I get probably the best...
The best
I've ever had in my life. I'm mortified because we haven't even shook hands yet, and every time he spins me, it's thwack into his leg. And... according to Schreiber, he immediately assumed he would be fired and never let onto a movie set again. Luckily, Steve Martin was a consummate professional about it. Steve is just looking up at the ceiling, swinging me around, Schreiber said. I want to say I've come a long way since then, and I should probably thank Steve if he's watching for not saying anything.
The best erection?
Yeah.
Best erection he's ever had on the set
of
Mixed Nuts.
Are we supposed to be reading that?
Yeah. How could he even know? How could he even get to... It's not like he looked at it. Could have been.
Maybe he looked. He was like, wowie. Anyway.
Well, I hate that story.
So I think about it all the time. Obviously, the details escaped me, but I knew that it happened, and it's always at the back of my mind.
Now I got to watch Mixed Nuts. The list of movies because of this show is just...
You know, that's another mini-sode we haven't made.
I can get the basic info out of here.
Okay.
Do it.
So the name of the episode, Blue Balls Lagoon, which we've already touched on, debuted August 14th, 2005, has an 8.2 on IMDb, and it is the highest viewed episode of the series so far with 2.57 million viewers.
Jesus Christ.
Directed by Entourage Pro Daniel Attias. Who has directed a bunch of episodes before.
Sounds like a Harry Potter.
Yeah, right. He's half owl.
He's an evil man, Daniel Attias. Written by Doug Ellen, creator of the show. Brian Burns, who has written one other episode before this. I don't think I like looked into what else he's written, but he's written a ton of stuff. He wrote, I guess most recently, he wrote the Daddy's Home movies.
Yeah.
He also wrote 35 episodes of Blue Bloods, starring Tom Selleck.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Blue Bloods Lagoon.
Blue Bloods?
Starring another Wahlberg head. What's his name? Donnie? I don't know. There's a Wahlberg on Blue Bloods, I think, right? This guy, he's in...
I just know that Tom Selleck's mustache is on.
He's just got his finger in every Wahlberg pie.
Yeah, he's got his, yeah, he's deep in the Wahlberg. And Emily...
I said what I said.
Emily, there's another writer on this project.
No, don't tell me. Is it Cliff?
It's Cliffy.
Cliff Dorfman.
It's the Dorfman joint.
Is he a prolific entourage writer?
For season two, I think he's written every episode. He's like credited as the staff writer for every episode.
Wow. Do you think he's like a Henry Darger kind of guy where he's like a reclusive guy that died in his apartment and the police opened the door and they just found all these scripts? Yeah. Entourage I guess we got to make these.
Did you have were you able to pull up a summary?
Yes. I do have an HBO summary for you. Vince and his Aqua Girl are outed as an item by Page Six, much to the concern of Shauna. Eric goes into damage control mode, keeping the two on a professional level while they're out in public. Ari gives Vince a painting as a gift, but Eric later finds out that the painting is a fake. Realizing that he's already in trouble due to Terrence's overtures towards Vince, Ari replaces the painting with the original straight from his own wall. Drama loses his Movie of the Week gig when he gets overexcited about his scene with Brooke Shields. Eric's relationship with Sloane grows more interesting, further complicating his personal and professional lives.
Do you want to get into it? You want to go?
Yeah, let's
do it. Through this?
It opens and Turtle is helping Drama run lines for his Brooke Shield project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're at Jessica Alba's beach house still.
Right, which they're still living in.
That's where they live?
Yeah.
Their regular mansion.
Yeah, it's under construction.
But it's under renovation.
Okay.
Jessica Alba.
Because Marlon Brando is still in it and they have to get him out.
Yeah, they have to exercise the ghost of Marlon Brando. And he's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fighter. He won't go.
Can't sleep?
No, can't sleep.
You miss her, don't you?
More than words. It says we're supposed to hug. I ain't hugging you.
Don't be a wise-ass turtle. Just read the lines, like Brookwood.
How am I supposed to do that?
Focus. Radiate. Emote. You know, Brooke Shields was the first girl I ever seriously jerked off to.
That's romantic, Drama. You should tell her.
Yeah, Lady Fate knew what she was doing when she delivered her to my doorstep.
You're doing a couple of scenes on the MOW. It ain't Fate, and you ain't banging Brooke Shields.
The onset romance is a time-honored Hollywood tradition, Turtle. Wake up.
Ain't she married?
Yeah, to a writer. I mean, come on. Me or a writer?
And so they get to a line where, I guess, Brooke and Drama are supposed to hug, and for some reason Turtle goes immediately into gay panic mode and isn't like, I'm not gonna hug you, which is pretty intense. That's like, you don't want to hug your friends, come on. You'll jack off in front of them, but you won't hug them, Turtle?
Yeah. I also thought that it's like, I'm not going to hug you. That's weird. Anyway, talk to me more about how you're going to steal this one, to ruin this woman's marriage.
Right, because you jerked off when you were a teenager. Yeah. Right.
I think it was like right up top, this is the worst conversation I've ever heard.
Right, yeah.
You don't understand. I want to ruin this woman's marriage because I used to jerk off to her.
Yeah, right. The first person he ever seriously jerked off to. Seriously. So there was a couple of ones that were just... Yeah.
Before
that,
he was just planning
out. It's hard to find the right person
to commit to jerking off to. They get in a nice burn on writers while they're at it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was great. And then later we do see Brooke Shields with her husband, and the only thing we hear her say... it sounds like ADR, like a line they threw in where you just hear her say, I would love to go out to dinner, but I don't want to pay for it again.
What? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and like, and you just see Drama like overlooking like, oh, Trouble in Paradise. Like,
I did not
like,
hear
yeah, I like, missed that line.
It's really like...
I almost rewound to hear what it was that she
said. I think she's... if I'm remembering something I watched a few minutes ago, which I might be totally wrong, and I'm just projecting, but I think she said like, dinner sounds great, but I don't want to have to foot the bill again.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Weird. And then the boys head out. They're talking about how they're throwing a party for Mandy. Is that what they were talking about? And then Vince says that he has to, like, basically he comes clean and says, like, yeah, Chris broke up with Mandy, or they broke up with each other, and now they're together, and he's happy. And the boys are not thrilled, and he's going to get her a B-Day present.
Right. Mandy broke up with Chris, now we're together. And I'm happy, so don't give me any shit. And tomorrow's her birthday, so I gotta do something special.
Well, it's been 24 hours. I think flowers will do.
You should have started dating her next week, bro. You could have saved yourself some coin. I remember I broke up with Stacy LaRusso a week before Valentine's Day. I got back with her a week after. No chocolates, no roses.
No class.
But they were just like, let's just go on the New York name generator. Yeah. Stacy LaRusso. Yeah, sure. Put it in.
Yeah. And then they move on into...
Yeah, so they go meet with... so they're on their way to go meet with...
Yeah, well, I was very surprised to see.
Yeah.
They had some cameos that they did not deserve.
And he was holding a gun, but it also was very nice, so it's confusing.
But he's not even like a cameo. He's like a he's an actual ongoing character now. In it. Yeah.
I should also note that E is still somehow going out with Sloan.
Right, yeah.
Who is his Malcolm McDowell's daughter?
Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The resemblance was definitely uncanny.
Yeah, I know, it's tough to ignore, really.
And they're skeet shooting with
Terrence. Mm-hmm. Terrence is talking about how he basically relating the Mandy Moore storyline to when he was courting Anne Margaret when he was a young boy. and would fly in truffles to her from her favorite
bistro in France or something.
Yeah.
And then Turtle very correctly suggests that Vance should find some steaks from Peter Luger's steakhouse.
Mm-hmm. And then he looks right at the camera and holds up his two hands and goes, "That's a New York," which I thought was a little weird.
Yeah, a little on the nose.
Yeah, but I appreciate it as someone who's from New York.
It's they really nailed a real New Yorker.
Yeah.
Bring me a Peter Luger steak. Hey.
I mean, I'm always constantly talking about Peter Luger steaks.
You walk around pacing the room.
Your pockets are just full of $100 bills.
Yeah, you pace the mansion dropping $100 bills, mm-hmm. the podcast mansion.
I know, I'm sorry. I got to clean this up.
Just whispering Peter Luger, Peter Luger, Peter Luger to
yourself. I heard that they don't take cards there. You have to pay cash.
I don't know, but I believe it. It sounds true.
I've never actually been. I've walked by it a bunch of times. Seen some shows at Baby's All Right across the street.
Yeah.
And I always look in.
It's an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah.
I was looking. I'm like, oh, maybe one day.
Yeah,
one day
instead I'll go drink this free PBR.
All the kids in Baby's All Right are just like, oh, I'm hungry. Let's all of us head over to Peter Luger's after the show.
Let's go to Pete's.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Luge.
It's a weird corner where there's a Peter Luger's Baby's All Right, and then there's like a McDonald's.
That is a weird corner part of town.
Yeah, that's. I feel like I've only even been to that little bit of the world, like maybe a few times in my life. And most of the time to go to Baby's All Right.
Yeah.
And then that's
the only reason to go, or Peter Luger's to drive in from Long Island to go to Peter Luger's.
It is weird because now I feel too young to go to Peter Luger's and too old to go to Baby's All Right. So whenever I'm in the neighborhood, I'm like being torn apart. I just stand in the middle of the intersection. I'm like, here's where I'm supposed to be.
Kind of pass out and wake up in the McDonald's holding one black coffee.
Yeah. This feels right.
Yeah.
You're a staple of that intersection.
Sure. You know, screaming at cars. Yeah. Where do I belong?
Who will I be?
Every week there's a story about you on Gothamist.
That's all they've got going on.
They call you the Luger intersection guy.
They ask me to pick winning soccer teams sometimes.
So that's
the
nice.
Blue ones! You pick blue again.
Now back to screaming at cars.
So they get done skeet shooting, and Terrence says that Vince is a natural with a gun and he should work with Tarantino because he's got the connection. He's the one who pulled him out of that video store back in the day.
Yeah, and everybody knows that to be in a Tarantino movie, you have to be an expert marksman.
Right, yeah. Also, can we talk about how the only shot that any of them take, they all four take one shot at the same time?
Yeah, that's how guns work.
Yeah, right, that's definitely
that's the safest way to do skeet shooting is to just all four people to shoot at the same time.
In a little tiny row, like so close to each other.
Yeah, and then one of them hits the poor skeet, and then all of them try to. It's a nice little moment where they all try to take credit for shooting the thing.
And then all four. Oh, okay. And then this is another thing that I wanted to talk about, which is that Malcolm McDowell makes orange juice look cooler than anyone's ever made orange juice look. As he's talking, the way he like cheerses with the orange juice. I was like, damn, like that's cool. He looks cool. He's a professional. Cool.
He looked cool. He's been acting cool in movies since
that man
before
be
the boys
actor.
Were born. in this scene is a weird call, because E gets a call and he very enthusiastically is like, hey, and it's Shauna, and she says, what the fuck are you so happy about? Which I thought is
like, after saying hello,
his quick hey that he was feeling chipper.
What the fuck are you so chipper about? Yeah. So the boys go to Ari's office, sure, where they meet with Shauna.
Guys, what am I doing here? I feel like I have a coke problem. What's the real issue, Ari?
The real issue is that Dana Gordon called, and Warner Brothers is very concerned.
You're kidding, right?
You're their million-dollar baby. They don't want you pulling an Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, or a Russell Crowe. He broke up Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan on Proof of Life. Movie cost 80 mil. Did less business than Gilly.
Guys, relax. Mandy's not even engaged anymore. They broke up.
Very, very specific references.
Yeah.
Very early 2000s references.
Yeah. These specific early 2000s references are probably the best part of this show.
Yeah, and I didn't know, like, does Proof of Life have a reputation of ruining a marriage?
I don't know. I guess so. I have
no idea.
Russell Crowe, that broke up Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid.
Wow.
Because they had a little thing. Russell Crowe and Meg Ryan on set.
They had a thing.
So they don't want Vince and Mandy to be seen in public. They don't want them canoodling. They don't want them finger banging courtside at the Lakers games.
Sure. Another very specific reference.
I love that everyone as like, Russell Crowe famously did. Yeah. Classic Russell Crowe move. And then, yeah. And then Vince notices Ari's niche painting.
Yeah,
yeah, very, very clever character name for a fake painter.
Right, Robert Niche.
Very, the dwarf man, really killing it, crushing it.
Just taking those specifics and knocking them out of the park. He's truly the A-Rod of home runs with specifics. But yeah, and then he's just like, I want that. This is an insane moment.
I thought that was funny. It was like, I didn't know what they were going for until he said something, but like they were yelling about how this could destroy his career, and he was just like very thoughtfully looking at this painting,
right?
And I was like, what's gonna, like, is he gonna turn around and just like be weeping at, right, like I don't know what his connection, but then it turned out that he just wanted it.
This reminded me of I had a girl come over to my house when I was in like second grade and just walk into my bedroom and be like, hey, can I have this about one of my toys? And I was like,
oh my god, what?
No. And then she cried and went home.
Whoa.
It
really?
Was very weird. I don't know. I went to a private school with some shitty people.
Jesus.
Actually, one girl... Wait, this is crazy. There was a girl who... Her parents had a ton of money, and she came over to my house, and then they bought my house, which was not for sale, and we moved.
Wait, what?
In eighth grade. It was crazy.
Wait, what the fuck?
They took your house?
Just
out of nowhere?
Her parents, it wasn't like, for sale? I think my parents were thinking about selling anyway, ultimately, but they made an offer that my parents couldn't refuse, and they bought the house.
That's fucking,
my parents like sat me down and they were like, are you okay with this? And I was like, no. And they were like, well, it's happening. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's so
isn't that
scary
crazy
to me.
I transferred out of that school as fast as I could.
Where was that?
My family let me do it. It was in Nova Scotia.
Fucking Canada. They could do whatever they want out there.
Canadians are notoriously ruthless people.
Well, it was just this one crazy private school I went to that was all like rich suburb kids, basically. It was
This wasn't the parents of the same girl, right?
No, two different people. Two different girls, same like 40-person class.
I wanted it to be like revenge. Like, you wouldn't let my daughter have this toy. Yeah. Like, we're going to buy your fucking house.
Yeah. We're going to buy all your toys.
You're like 10 years later.
Yeah.
No, it's saving just up. A school full
get
of
real cozy
like,
in there.
Ruthless
monsters. Oh, are these your toys?
Yeah.
In this scenario, like, Vince is just like, good, you've proven to me that you will give me things.
Yeah.
But I would feel so disgusting. Like saying like, oh, you just bought this, give it to me, or we're not friends anymore.
I can't imagine.
Or else another
that
man will give me a better thing.
Yeah, and also he says that he just spent $100,000 on it. That's so much.
That's
money.
A lot of money.
Yeah. He says he spent all of Eva Longoria's commission on it, which means Eva Longoria made about $1 million or $500,000 or something,
sure,
depending
she's
on
Eva
what
Longoria.
It is.
So he grabs the painting. He makes Lloyd take it down to Vince's car.
Oh,
yeah,
just,
also
we get
sad.
Such a beautiful little detail about poor Lloyd, which is that he was an art history major.
Right.
At Sarah Lawrence.
Someone who knows a lot of art history majors. Yeah.
You know how to hold this then.
Yeah.
So, he deserves so much better. I love Lloyd.
Right.
Also, can we talk about the like camera angle on that scene after Vince is like looking at the painting? There's like this very, it looks like a 90s movie cover poster kind of thing where like Vince is very much in the foreground and everyone else is standing behind him.
And he's like looking at the painting. It's like right next to like where the camera is. Right. Yeah. It's like very close up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very...
It looks like, I was trying to remember, like the poster for like 10 Things I Hate About You, or like, I feel like maybe Empire Records has the same sort of
form. Oh, yeah. Like
just like in the tableau, like all the characters. And like,
Like a lot of like CD covers had that. Like, yeah.
The boys are fanned out behind us. Yeah. Right, like a peacock's tail.
Like a cock's tail of many colors.
Look at my boys. Possible mates. Look at my boys.
Yeah, right. That's how he attracts mates, is with his plumage of boys.
Do you like my boys? My vibrant boys.
He also sort of sings a little song.
his Vince song, yeah.
So they go to Jerry's, and Vince says that Mandy's going to meet them for lunch.
Yeah. And the guys don't seem to like Mandy at all.
Yeah, it's very...
Which
it's
is very weird to me as a person, because she's playing Mandy Moore.
Right, she is playing who Mandy is like, Moore. Wouldn't you be excited to meet Mandy Moore?
Well, who's just like a delightful... Like, nobody hates Mandy Moore.
Right. Well, they're worried about... they're worried about Vince and him, like, falling for Mandy because of, like, the situation that happened on A Walk to Remember. So I think that they're, like, all...
They're
mad that this situation... They're wary
of Mandy. Right, but it seems like they're wary of Mandy when they should be wary of Vince.
Yeah, they're blaming Mandy for Vince being...
It's super weird.
Yeah.
She's nothing but delightful.
They should all be protecting Mandy.
Yeah, right. If anything, they should, like, form their plumage around Mandy.
Yeah, Mandy's like trying to be nice. She like asks Drama how he's doing, and he like very coldly is like, "I got an MOW. Life couldn't be better."
Yeah, yeah. And then she asks Turtle, and Turtle is like, "I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm busy."
Turtle stuff. And then he puts his arms and legs and head into his torso. Yeah.
He balls up into his hoodie, which he was born wearing.
Showing everybody what a man named Turtle can do.
Yeah, right. At last, we see his superpower come out. And then also she... All right, this is just a little weird timeline thing, but she says she just came from getting an earful from her publicist, then she says that she just came from the gym.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a strange...
Where were you, Mandy?
Did your publicist come to the gym? Does
sketchy.
She work out at her publicist's? Do she and her publicist work out together? Right. It's possible.
Wow, we're being no better than the boys, being so skeptical of Mandy.
Maybe she got a phone call while
at
she was
gym.
On
maybe
the
Maybe her publicist was at the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they ride a tandem bicycle.
Oh, that'd be adorable.
So then we cut to them leaving. They're in the car. He's driving.
This is
a big scene for you.
This is really important.
So Vince is texting with Mandy, and he recites a text that he received from her to E, which means...
Vince can read.
He can read. That's it.
Up until this point, we've never seen Vince read. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been thinking about, at this point, I have to allow for the possibility that Vince can read.
Mm-hmm.
But, hear me out.
Or?
She could know how to communicate with Vince.
Telepathically?
In that she could have texted, like, E equals smiley face.
Oh, like... Right.
Simplify it.
But
he's texting back to her, though. So
now, I've said
he might just be pounding buttons. It might be like, because I know there are some celebrities that have like intense dyslexia and they have to have people read their scripts.
Yeah. So that's, I've always felt that.
And he can't drive, which means that he might not be able to.
Right, exactly. So I still stand by the possibility. Now, this is what I've pitched in the past as like
this is why
the lighter version of this.
So hung up on her. She's the only one that knows how to really communicate with him.
Yeah. She probably like texts in like missives from the front, like E great, thank you, smiling.
God.
And he's like, got it.
Yeah.
But it is possible at this point that he can read. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. It may be that he has very rudimentary reading skills, which would mean that texts would be okay, but would still stand by the fact that he seems to need other people to help him do scripts and that kind of thing. Like, he doesn't read full scripts.
Yeah.
Cool.
But But yeah, I think the intense dyslexia thing is also a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep an eye on this situation, and we'll see how it unfolds. But yeah, maybe he loves Mandy because Mandy texts in pictures.
Also, he reads the text on his phone while driving, which is also very impressive.
Right.
Yeah. He's like so like happy. He's like, oh, I'm falling so fast. Nuts, huh? And
you
he's
ever
just
seen
like,
me like this before?
Yeah,
he's so poetry. Mad about him.
He,
like
with his
being
tiny
happy.
Little sunglasses.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah, and they get the angrier he gets, the smaller the sunglasses.
Yeah, which is impressive, really, in its own way.
A testament to his acting ability.
Right.
We cut to drama. He's pulling up to the table read for the movie of the week, and this is where Timothy Busfield, who is playing himself, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's the director. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
from The West Wing.
Yeah, from like Danny all of Aaron Sorkin's projects. Yeah. Oh. He is a director. He's directed a ton of shows and stuff like
himself.
That. So I guess he's himself, but they don't like
they
call
don't
him
call
Timothy
it out.
Or anything. Yeah, so he's the one who breaks the news. Joe Mantegna is not going to be involved. Brooke looks upset.
Everybody's heartbroken.
Thanks for coming. Sorry we haven't gotten the scripts to you earlier, but we were working to the wee hours making it sing.
Look at that hair.
I'm out.
Also, unfortunately, Joe Mantegna has dropped out. We're going to be great. We're going to be great. We're going to get started in just a second.
So he is talking to Brooke, and he's like, hey, you know, I think our scene...
He's being so gross. I really felt that he was... I mean, of course, he's supposed to be behaving inappropriately, but it was... Ugh, yeah. I did not like watching this scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he...
I covered my eyes.
And just screamed.
Yeah. He asked her, would the scene be better if they had a kiss during their moment? It's going to be very emotional and dramatic.
Hi.
Hi.
Johnny.
Brooke.
I know who you are. I'm playing Little Rick. We got a couple really nice scenes together.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah. You know what time it is?
Oh, sorry. No watch.
Yeah, I noticed you don't wear any... jewelry.
No, I never really have.
Yeah, me neither. No watch, no bracelet, no ring. Look, I just wanted to run something by you before I pitch it to the director.
Sure. What is it?
In the comforting scene? Yeah. I thought that maybe a little kiss might add some pathos.
Kiss?
Yeah, nothing crazy. More in love than lust.
You're playing my brother.
Really? I didn't even get a full script. Your brother? That would be weird.
Yeah. So, what do you say we save the kiss?
Okay. Rain check it is.
Your rain check good.
Yeah.
Oh. It's weird to see, like, a stalker in the making.
Yeah. Yeah. And
like,
she's
how
just,
somebody
like,
can misconstrue
so
signals so
smooth
much.
With it. Yeah. Like, it's insane that she puts up with it as much as she does.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what this movie... that they were shooting was about. Yeah, because the one scene that we do see later is like super weird, and
yeah, they are brother and sister, and they're like cooking breakfast in bathrobes.
Right, yeah, I guess they live together.
Yeah.
Or maybe one of them is staying with the other.
Yeah.
Presumably it would be Brooke Shields staying with drama because
something terrible is happening
in her life.
Yeah.
It's
the three B's: breakfast, bathrobes, and brothers.
Mm.
Yeah.
true MOW style.
The only way to get over a loss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bathrobes, breakfast, and brothers. Yeah.
Then we cut to E. He's out with Sloan. They're grabbing drinks, and they're talking about Terrence. And then we cut back to Vince. He's out with Turtle just by himself.
Which is intriguing.
That we don't see ever, the two of them just interacting by themselves.
Yeah, they never just hang out. Although you must assume that they've probably been alone together countless times.
I was put off by that because it was weird of me to see two of the boys, but not all of the boys.
Yeah. It's like a peacock with a single feather.
Yeah.
We need at least three.
Yeah.
That's it.
The page one of the show Bible is just like,
we never
either,
see a boy
it's
alone.
It's either no boys or three boys.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. And then... they're talking about like E and if they should invite him back to. So E got uninvited to the party for Mandy Moore's birthday,
mm-hmm.
And they're talking about if they should re-invite E. And then Vince says, "Only bring it up if he brings it up. Only invite him if he says something."
Oh well, you're missing one very important moment, which is where Vince, for some reason, shows E or Turtle his mouth full of food.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then now I have that image burned in my memory forever.
Which might have just been what his tongue looks like.
Yeah, in fairness, he actually didn't eat any pizza. That's just...
And then right before the cut, you see a bunch of Maddox run into frame to swing into action. And then they
that would explain probably all the could have cut out a little bit more.
Yeah, going, Adrian, no! He'll contaminate turtle! Sirens go off.
Yeah, and thus began the pandemic of 2005.
Sure.
So then we cut back to E. Now E and Sloan are having dinner. I guess they were waiting around before, right? Yeah, that makes sense.
Sloan tells E that the painting that Vince was enamored by.
Yeah, so she says Ari is notorious for hanging fake paintings on.
What a thing to be notorious for.
Yeah. And also, okay, here's a crazy thing about this. Is why wouldn't Ari be like, no, you can't have that painting to give to Mandy Moore? Like, I mean, this is going to fuck everything up. You can't give Mandy Moore a fake painting.
But we also learned that he actually does have the real painting.
And he has the real one.
But it does give us a charming scene between E and Ari in his office.
Yeah.
A battle of wits.
Yeah, E walks in and he's got the painting all sealed up. Yeah.
He's ready for a duel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he very smugly walks in and he's like, yeah, I know about the painting.
He drops the proverbial velvet glove.
The unannounced drop by, huh? Make it a habit of this, E?
You're not going to believe this. Vince got over $300,000 for this painting. He wants to sell it.
It was a gift. Come on, that would be rude.
Yeah, but he's going to split the profits with you.
I'm not in the art game for the profits. I'm in it for the love of the work.
I know it's a fake, Ari. Cut the bullshit.
It's a fake? So I'm giving out fake paintings. You want to see the certificate of authenticity?
Yeah, I do.
Define the term fake.
Define fake. Yeah. Because Vince came in here and signed a thing 3 years ago saying he was my client. It's like, all right, well, you're clearly deflecting. But this whole Terrence thing. And then E very correctly points out the flaw in this whole plot line, which is... You guys work in the same office. He's your boss.
Like, it all doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, you guys work it out amongst yourselves.
He also mentions that Tarantino...
I'm talking about the Quentin motherfucking Tarantino meeting that was set up outside of this office.
Terrence works inside this office. He's your boss. If you guys have a problem, then you figure it out. Right, but Vince isn't going to pass on a Quentin Tarantino meeting that you couldn't get.
It's a jerk-off general. My six-year-old could get that meeting.
Yeah, your six-year-old probably could have painted this shit, too.
Tarantino is probably holed up in a Vegas penthouse with half a dozen tie hookers writing his next script, which no one has seen. I mean, for all we know, he's probably writing about Wu Zuqi, the lesbian empress of the Ming Dynasty. You want Vince to play a dictator dyke?
If it's a good role.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess that's probably the not okay corner for today, actually.
Yeah.
Because he drops the D-bomb.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. He refers to the meeting as a jerk-off meeting that his six-year-old daughter could get if she wanted.
So then why didn't you get it?
Ari, how come you can't get Vince a Tarantino meeting?
Yeah, get him a jerk-off meeting with Tarantino. Make him feel good.
That's the biz.
I feel like a lot of these scenes can end with all the characters looking into the camera and going, Hollywood.
Yeah, right.
That's crazy. How it works.
Hollywood, am I right?
Yeah.
Then we cut to drama. So this is the scene where they're acting on set. It's drama and Brooke.
And she's doing, she goes like all fucking out.
She's amazing.
Brooke Shields
is
incredible.
And action.
Couldn't sleep. You miss her, don't you?
More than words.
She's in a better place. It's okay. It's okay.
Cut, people.
Turtle's there off camera watching the whole
scene. Yeah, because he wandered onto set.
Yeah. Turtle, like...
It's just the director, drama, Brooke Shields, and Turtle.
Yeah, but this looked like, I don't know, her reaction, it seemed like... This has happened to her before, the way that she was like,
she's Brooke Shields. Everybody's hard.
Yeah. Anybody that makes physical contact with her just immediately gets hard, and can't be stopped. It's curse. It's the Brooke curse.
A witch cursed her with an ancient boner curse.
I was half expecting to see, the actual boner popping out of his pants.
Oh yeah. Cause they will show a tented boner in this. Yes, for sure.
We've seen, seen that a few times at this point. So.
Yeah, I was surprised he wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, like he was just kind of like, well.
I'm not going to apologize for it.
It's me.
In the
drama.
Words of Liev Schreiber, it's human the being best they call one drama. He's ever had. So.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And then
you hired me, a human named Drama.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You should not be surprised that this is occurring right now.
Yeah, in fairness, they got what they paid for. Mm-hmm.
So we cut to Mandy's birthday party. Drama's there. He's complaining about how he got fired to Terrence. Mm-hmm. And Terrence is trying to offer words of wisdom to him.
Sure.
He gives him a 59
I've heard about
wine.
Your boner, Drama.
Yeah.
And I have some words.
I've heard about your boner,
I'll try to
drama,
cheer you
drama.
Up. If only I can cheer you up after doing something that was your fault and inappropriate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what confused me about this scene in general, is that this is Mandy Moore's birthday party, right? But it's all Vince's friends.
Yeah, that's actually
and
what
Mandy.
Producer Dan was so upset
and
about.
Terrence.
He was like,
yeah, it's just like, here's a bunch of strangers that Vince likes, and oh, here's whose birthday it is.
Right, yeah. It's like Mandy Moore doesn't have anyone else she could spend her birthday with. Like, where are her friends? Where's her family?
I think it was like...
They're all mad at her because the whole Chris thing, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But
no matter what...
Chris.
You don't have people that would stand by you?
Yeah.
And
Terrence,
and it's also, is Terrence's like dinner that he wanted to have, right? His like private dinner at his restaurant that he then
so it's
leaves.
Like a mix of like a
while
few
they're
things,
skeet-shooting,
yeah
he's like this is like do you mind if I bring
right.
all of 100
oh,
people
okay so this isn't really her birthday party
it's like a
so
dinner
like...
date that Vince wants to take her to but also then he brings all of his boys
right
and it's her birthday
yeah
okay
for her birthday
okay
because they couldn't possibly have scheduled it any other day because they're all so busy, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah, doing skeet shooting and
to get all 12 of Vince in one place at one time.
Right.
Terrence leaves. He says he has to get home to his 18-month-old son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I really like. There's actually
what
a little detail here that actually made me laugh. Mm-hmm. Which was they're going around talking about like famous people who've been fired from things. Mandy's like, I was fired from something, and I'm like, well, it'll name unnamed and. Remain unnamed, and Vince is like, Roswell. And then Turtle's like, I never had a job. And that made me laugh. Turtle just being like, I've never had a job. Is like, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
That
and
tracks.
He's fully crying.
Right. Too, yeah, the crazy part
somebody
is how
listen
he's
to me.
Screaming and weeping.
Yeah.
He's given a full Brooke Shields performance.
How come I am not employable?
Yeah.
I want to get fired from Roswell too sometimes, maybe.
But I wonder, you know, I feel like this is another example of them maybe not having a show Bible, because I feel like he's talked about things that he's done before. It's just like...
Yeah.
It is fun to write a show where just like anything that happened before the episode they're currently writing just does not matter.
Right, yeah.
It's like a cartoon.
That's why they kept Dwarfman around. He was... Yeah. It's all in his brain.
It's like a beautiful mind.
Yeah.
He sees like all the characters, like the turtles floating around in the air.
Dwarfman, please.
You work at this place and you threw this party.
Write a show Bible, please, Cliff. Like, no. I got it. It's all up here.
I've written 1,000 episodes of this show, and they're hidden in the walls of my apartment.
Right.
And one day you will unearth them.
Someday you'll find my many, many more Entourage seasons.
Nobody knows. Nobody's ever met the dwarf man. It's like the scripts just come underneath the door. And everybody just waits in the morning, and then an envelope gets slid under the door.
It's easier.
Your footstep. They open the door, and they just
he's gone. Yeah, there's no one there.
It's like a cloud of smoke.
Yeah.
Dwarf man.
Dwarf man.
It's like a 13-year-old kid.
And that's probably it.
Where were you, son?
Yeah,
nowhere.
He disappears because he can
dwarf
into the
dwarf boy. Where were you? I'm a dwarf man now, Ma.
Watch an episode of Entourage sometime, Mommy.
Why are you watching Blue Lagoon again?
Yeah.
Mom, it's for my work.
Yeah. Mother, please.
It's for my work.
So in this scene, Sloan shows up.
You're doing a great job of getting it.
Joe's very good at that. I'm the worst. I'm always
in this horrible party that
wanting to tell Ian Falcon
Sloan
stories.
Show up a little late, and Sloan says that she had a fashion emergency.
I'll say she did. That dress is whack.
She looks great.
I hate her dress.
This is another. This is another scene where I'm like, why is she with E? she looks
or like who would show up to this party and be like, these people are cool. I want in on this. This family.
That's
an
item. Actually, I would say that is the number one mystery of this show, is the number of women that are like, yeah, this is good.
I want to immerse myself in the goings on of these boys. Yeah,
this is the thing I want for my life.
Yeah, and they toast to family.
Yeah, well, she says happy birthday to Mandy, and they know each other because they go to the same Barry's boot camp. So this is another reference to Mandy working out. Maybe that's... the puzzle pieces are all coming together.
Yes.
So she was at Barry's boot camp, and maybe Sloan was there.
The jigsaw mind is becoming clear to the rest of us.
And they all give Mandy presents. Drama and Turtle give Mandy the Viking Quest DVD series that Turtle has nothing to do with at all.
Yeah, Turtle's like, it's also for me, because Turtle obviously didn't get her a gift, because Turtle's never had a job.
He could never afford the Viking Quest DVDs on his own.
Right. Well, I mean, Drama definitely didn't pay for
anything. 2005, that's probably $75.
Yeah, that's true. Whole series?
Yeah, that's a lot of money in 2005 dollars.
Yeah, dropping a half a month of rent.
Yeah, Drama offers...
I remember I've spent so much money on DVDs in college. I have bins and bins of DVDs that are just sitting in my parents' basement.
Oh, yeah.
That every will time never serve any purpose.
Every time I go home, they're like, can you clear some of these DVDs? Mm-hmm. No,
how many copies of Monkey Bone do you need? All of them!
All Monkey Bone. Thousands of Monkey Bones.
When the Monkey Bone DVD factory burnt down, I was there to pick up the pieces.
Yeah. Soon I will build my fortress. I noticed Drama cheers is with the sake bottle.
He does. I noticed that too. I was transfixed on that. I was like, geez, Jesus, man.
Yeah, right.
That's for everybody.
He's having a rough night.
Everyone else has the little cups. Is he going to drink out of that? I mean, like, it's fine with the boys, but like, is Sloan going to want to drink Drama's? Spit sake?
No. They're at a restaurant. They have glasses.
They'll get another bottle. It's Mandy Moore. It's Terrence. Yeah, it's Mandy.
Oh, this is okay.
And
this
is the other concern. Every episode ends, they all cheers and they all went, Entourage!
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the camera pulled away.
And they all looked at the camera like, can you believe this?
Oh, Hollywood, it's the
Hollywood.
And then we built this city on rock and roll.
Yeah, right. Just over and over and over again. The other concern I had about this ending, Mandy's like, I forgot how much you guys are all like a family. She's never met most of these people. They only dated for 5 weeks. E wasn't even there yet.
Yeah.
He wasn't even born.
He was just a little egg.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, he's back managing the Sbarros at the point that they were dating, because he didn't even know that they'd ever dated. And even Turtle and Drama were like, he was all broken up, but like, did they spend time with her? How would she know that they were like a family up until this point?
Mm-hmm. They were probably pulling the same bullshit then that they do now, like just on a lesser scale.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, Mandy deserves better.
So we have a recurring segment on the show that I guess is more your segment, Emily.
Oh, my segment? Right? Yeah. So this is That's Not Okay Corner. And I guess
here we go.
This has been another pretty tame episode in the grand scheme of
episodes. Horrible things that have happened.
Honestly, I guess That's Not Okay Corner is probably the weird shit about Quentin Tarantino writing a movie about a lesbian empress and like not understanding that there could be other roles, I guess, other than the main role in a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, that there would probably be other characters, especially in 2005. Pretty much every character other than the main role, even if he were writing a lesbian empress movie, would probably be a man. Mm-hmm. Even now. But more so it's that he drops the D-bomb in referring to lesbians.
I think, the point of Ari's character is, like, he's a rude dude. But
everything he says is pretty much just, like, disgusting. Like an offensive person.
Yeah. He's a rude dude with attitude.
And, like, a show of disgusting people, he is the most disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. And it's,
and I did read afterwards that Jeremy Piven didn't even know that he was being filmed for most of the show.
Right, that's true. Yeah, he thought it was a documentary.
Yeah, and he just signed a waiver.
I believe that. Without question. That could entirely be true.
Yeah.
So that was that. It's Not Okay Corner. Mm-hmm. And we have another recurring segment on the show, which we can introduce with our lovely theme song.
Yes, the theme song definitely doesn't change every time. Here it is. Ba-dee-ba-ba-ba-doo-ba-ba. Guest knows best.
Guest knows best. The best.
Wow. Can I hear it again?
Yeah, no problem. Ready?
Ba-dee-ba-ba-doo. Guest knows best.
Guest knows best.
Ba-doo-doo-doo.
The best.
Doop.
It was just a little bit different.
Wait, what? No, what I don't think so. No, it's,
no, that was exactly the same.
No, yeah, we
it's
wrote this.
It's always exactly the same. Yeah. I said that right before we did it.
Pull out the sheet music.
Oh my God, they've got, it's a full butt. I can do birds, monkey bones, soup, or fonts.
Oh gosh, any of those. Mm. All of them.
If only there was a combination of all four.
Let's start with fonts and see if we can make our way okay. to soups.
Yeah, let's do fonts.
I've done it.
Ouch.
Did you just hit your head?
Oh, yep, no. I did. I hit my head on this giant marble column of Adrien Grenier.
No. It's a load-bearing column.
Yeah, oh no. Oh, there's a rumble. It'll be fine. Someone get the butler. soup, fonts?
What do you want?
What do you think the people need to know?
About fonts?
You can just talk about what you like in a font if you want. It doesn't have to be informative.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, you can do whatever you want.
Talk about monkey bone. I don't know. I've devoted my life to fonts. I went to school to study fonts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Here's what I will say. The biggest trend in typography now, illegibility.
Hmm.
You don't even have to be able to read it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's very exciting and cool. Black letters are in style, like old German black letters. Mm. That's a trendy thing right now. I'm old-fashioned. I like simple, legible fonts.
Yeah, what are some of your favorite fonts?
Some of my favorite fonts. Got to go with trade Gothic. Mm. That's a good one. It's a good, reliable sans serif. Archer. Archer's a nice slab serif font, but it's looking a little dated now. It might be a little too whimsical. I'm boring myself.
I'm loving this.
I'm starting to talk in like an old radio DJ voice.
So when you're working on a project, so mm-hmm. if you're at work and you need a font, mm-hmm. So do you have to use, like for a lot of your projects, do you have like a style guide that you have to adhere to? Or are you allowed to like do whatever you kind of want?
I think on most shows or most projects they would have a style guide, but I think most of my job is a skill that I've developed from studying, and the only party trick I have to offer people is that they can point at a font and ask me what it is, and I'll be able to tell them. So I think most of my job is like, we want to make a joke about Hillary Clinton's campaign slogan. What font is Hillary? What's Hillary's campaign font? Yeah. And I'll say, oh, that Sharp Sans. We'd have to pay for it. If we don't want to pay for that font, we can use this other font that might look something like it.
Right. Wow, so that's a really cool skill.
Yeah. So I think that most of my job is people coming over to my desk and being like, what is this?
Did you notice any fonts in this episode of Entourage?
I didn't. I think the title sequence is set in Helvetica, which is that good.
Pretty standard stuff.
Yeah.
Not blowing any minds there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it might be something else. It might be Gill Sands or something that looks telepathic. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
So do you have any fonts that you've created?
Yeah, I've done a bunch. I made one for a couple of years ago. There was a TV show called The Onion News Network on IFC that was
I was the I worked on that.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Chris Mann worked in The Office
for a while. That's right. Yeah. I was I did like post accounting, but I started as an intern because that was when I graduated college. Yeah. I was interning.
Oh yeah, you're much younger than
me. I know, I'm a tiny baby.
it was my first job, but I did it was about a fake show within a show called Fact Zone that was like a fake pundit show.
Yeah.
And I designed the type set for that fake show. So if we had to do like lower thirds or a title sequence, I made them in alphabet. But yeah, I like doing it in my spare time, making letters for posters and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's not as interesting as monkey bone or soup, but...
I mean, a few things are as interesting as monkey bone.
I mean...
Yeah, I think about monkey bone every day.
For the past 10 years of my life, I've been slowly working on a gritty reboot of the movie Monkey Bone.
That's incredibly exciting, and I'd love to hear more.
Well, I have just told you the whole thing because I haven't actually haven't actually put pen to paper yet.
Sure.
Well, Brendan's making a comeback, so this is time.
Right. He's on the rise.
We are ready. He is ready. He's just waiting for that.
I definitely would love him to be involved. My whole fascination. This is the last thing I'll say. I'm sorry. Whole fascination with Monkey Bone that I talk about publicly in great length and in my office Slack is mostly Monkey Bone stuff for me, is that if I were ever leaving this job or was fired in disgrace for bringing up Monkey Bone too much, I just want to plant enough seeds so that they have to give me a Monkey Bone cake. Sometimes when someone leaves, they'll make like a cake that's like shaped like something that they like.
Yeah.
And I just want a Monkey Bone cake.
I
just want somebody to have to call a bakery and say, okay.
Definitely if you've
gotten, are you by a computer? Google Monkey Bone.
Definitely if you've gotten fired too. It's like, we're firing him, but we gotta get him
too much Monkey Bone stuff. But you know the rules around here. One cake per firing.
You're being fired for too much Monkey Bone.
Here's the exact
if
cake
I can
of the
say
reason
anything about my office is that everybody is extremely nice. So they probably would do that.
Well, thank you for Guest Knows Best this week.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course.
That was Guest Knows Best.
Thank you. Do you want to, before we go, do you want to rate this out of 10, this episode?
We got to rate it out of 10.
The entourage of the podcast.
The podcast is always at a steady 1.
On a scale of 0 to 1, sure.
I think you just said explicitly that it was out of 10.
the best, though.
Yeah.
We'll rate this episode out of 10. So I know it's probably difficult for you since this is the only episode that you've seen, but I mean, you can compare it to whatever you want.
Oh, but out of 10 what?
Out of 10 what, though?
How many sake bottles that Johnny...
Drama
bottles,
yeah.
Yeah. Drama.
All the characters have 10 names, and they're referred to by each name so many times per episode.
out of 10 Brooke Shields boners?
Out of 10 plastic bags filled with Brooke Shields movies.
That's pretty funny.
Pizza tongues.
Pizza tongues is a good one.
Out of 10 glasses of orange juice that Terrence is drinking. Yeah.
Out of 10 jobs Turtle never had.
Ooh, I like that.
Out of 10 Brooke Shields tears.
Tears.
Yeah. Well, because she did such a good job crying. Ooh, out of 10 Peter Luger steaks.
Ooh. Out of 10 pizza tongues.
Great.
I like out of 10 pizza tongues. Let's do 10. Yeah, let's do that. Mm-hmm. So how many pizza tongues are you going to give this one? Ooh.
I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm lost inside of Entourage these days. I feel like I don't have perspective anymore.
It's tough to rate these. Like after it's
they're all just gray.
They're all just
10s.
Shades
you can't
of gray.
Just give everyone 10. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, what kind of podcast would this be?
They're just...
It's like putting another rubber band in a rubber band ball. Yeah. Rate each rubber band.
I guess this is a 6.5.
Yeah, that's enough. I'm thinking the same thing.
So we're
actually
talking like a bifurcated lizard pizza tongue.
Yes. Yes,
that's right. Yeah, it's 6 tongues and then one that I've chopped in half.
Yeah,
like a fucking monster.
What are you thinking? Where does your mind go to with this rating?
Where does my mind go?
Yeah.
Oh god,
oh, it just exploded.
Oh,
it's happening.
His skull.
It's happening again. There were things I liked about
it.
I like that Mandy Moore exists in the Entourage universe.
Mm-hmm.
So that people both real and fake get to enjoy her career in music.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like that Malcolm McDowell exists as a person, as two people, as Malcolm McDowell and as Terrence.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, every single person on the show is awful and I would never want to meet any one of them. So I'll give it maybe a 4. Pizza tongue.
Yeah. Great. 4 pizza tongues. Yeah. All right, let me get an average out of that thing.
Mm.
She's just pointing at the air doing this. Right? Yeah. There's no calculator at all.
Yeah.
5.67.
5.67, okay.
5 2/3.
All right. Yeah, that seems like an appropriate rating for this episode, I think. There was nothing very... There are episodes of the show that are fucking insane.
I feel like it's an episode about what happens in between two other better episodes.
The last two episodes ago was like crazy, and now I feel like they're just all coming down, like based off.
Yeah,
of that
it's
one.
Like they kind of peaked for a second there, and then this episode and last episode were pretty quiet. You wanted to on the show tell Molly who rated
iTunes
which boy she is.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So our guest from last week, Molly Elizabeth Brown, yes, so kindly went on and gave us 5 stars on iTunes, yes, and she wants to know which boy she is, and we are delighted to announce that Joe knows which boy she is.
Well, we didn't talk about that. I'm going to say that, Molly, I think you're Vince.
I believe it. Gentle.
Wow.
Kind.
Gentle, famous. Kind. You're funny. Yeah, you got a great career going. You're
no
super
one on
chill.
The show is funny, but Molly
he
is
can
funny.
Be. Molly's very funny. And Vince has his moments. Molly's a lot funnier than Vince. And yeah, super nice.
Mm-hmm.
Gets along with everybody.
Yep.
Beloved. Played Aquaman, yeah, famously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Consistently Molly, yes, followed around you, by yes, 3 boys.
Yes.
Who love her.
Yeah, and I think you're Vince. So congrats to you, Molly.
Congratulations, Molly. You're Vince.
And as always, if you want to know which one of the boys you are, you should rate us 5 stars on iTunes, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts.
And we'd be delighted to tell you.
Yeah, please.
Under those circumstances only.
Not yeah, me, though. You'll never hear from me again.
We will. We do have a way for you to call in. So
I said no.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. That's appropriate.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I was going to walk into the ocean after this.
I get it.
Oh, no. Aquaman's not in there.
Yeah, he's.
I have to find him. Tell them what the boys have done to his legacy.
So we end the show on a, do you have other things?
Well, did you have anything you wanted to plug?
Oh, yeah. Come see the revolution at QED. We host it the second Saturday of every month. And Molly Brown is going to be one of our comics next month.
Oh, cool.
On April 13th at 7:30 PM.
Awesome.
Stand-up show, all women, non-binary, trans comics, super fun.
Cool.
At QED in Astoria.
Nice.
Also follow me on Twitter at mdunkaroo.
Cool.
I
got nothing.
Vowels.
I got nothing. Follow me on Instagram at Joe DiBella. I might, maybe, I don't know.
Don't you dare even say it.
I might start tweeting again soon. I don't know.
Fuck you, Joe.
Do
know.
It.
We'll see. We'll
do
see.
It. It's awesome.
I had a bad experience a few weeks ago.
A bad experience, by which he means one of his tweets went viral, and it was the best thing that
and
could possibly have happened to a young comedian.
No, I get it.
When the comments start flowing in.
Oh, no.
And,
it was a joke about a divorce that didn't happen, but people thought there was a real divorce.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
People trying to
out
me and find out information about me and stuff.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, weird people on Twitter. Might start tweeting again soon. I don't know.
We'll see.
So do you have anything you want to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Spencer with SPENSER. Thank you, Mom and Dad. And watch Full Frontal with Samantha Bee on TBS every Wednesday, I think. It's Wednesday.
Sounds right.
Wednesday nights.
Great.
Cool.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, and follow him on Twitter. He's very funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's true. And follow Podtourage on Twitter at
that's
Podtourage
right.
Pod.
Please. We...
Or on Instagram or on Facebook. You can find us at Podtourage.
I'm going to do it right yeah. now.
You could also email us if you have a question or comment at podtouragepod@gmail.com.
Yep. We will, yeah. If we ever get any listener questions, we'd be glad to answer them.
We get them all the time. We just skip over that segment every week. Yeah. We just cut it for time.
All right. Whatever.
Yeah. We just have a lot
that's
of.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. And.
Totally true. Yes, and we like to end every episode by asking our guests if they will join us in saying oh yeah with us,
like in the theme song,
like
yes,
in the theme
exactly
song
correct.
Oh, you know I would.
All right,
perfect. So until next week,
oh yeah,
oh yeah, yeah.
Is